Come on, man. It's not even fun.
No, it's not.
Thank you. It's good to see all of you, and we had a really blessed time at the nursing home. There were just three of us from the church that were able to make it, and so we started out singing a cappella, and then after a few songs, there were some visitors that had been visiting another resident, and this lady knew how to play the organ by ear. And so she just jumped right in and played the organ for us, and it was a real blessing. And so the Lord works in mysterious ways, and He provides, and so we praise the Lord for that. And it was a real blessing. And just one announcement to make you aware of, or to bring you to your attention, we will be having missionaries this coming Sunday, next Sunday, and they are the Derek Black family, Derek and his wife and their young child. They'll be here all day next Sunday, and we'll be having in the evening a fellowship after the evening service, and so keep those things in mind, and that'll be a real blessing. I think that's basically all of our announcements. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right into our song service. Heavenly Father, do thank you for how good you are to us, and I thank you for each one here this evening. What a blessing it is to be part of the family of God, to be brothers and sisters that can fellowship together and encourage one another, pray for one another, even admonish one another. And so I do pray that even as we sing songs of praise and look into your word, that you would encourage us, and pray that even through the rest of the week that we'd be looking to you and we'd be meditating upon your word. And I pray that you would strengthen us, and even do pray for those who are feeling under the weather. I do pray that you'd help them in a special way. I do thank you that you are always with us. So I do pray that you'd just be glorified in a great way this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't we stand together as we turn to number 26. Number 26 to start the evening, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I should mention before we start, you may have seen your program that we have testimonies right in the middle of the song service tonight, and we're hoping to keep that as a tradition, that so that during the week, if you have a testimony of how God has worked in your life, or even a scripture passage that God has used in your life, or any such way that God has shown Himself to you during the week, or even some way that God is working in your life and you are feeling free to share that, don't just forget about it, or don't just neglect to write it down, but you know, bring it on Sunday night, and we'll have a time every Sunday night where you can share that. If nobody has anything to share, then maybe we'll just have to sing an extra song or two if we have to. So let's then sing. Keep that in mind if you have something later on. Otherwise, let's sing 26, A Mighty Fortune. Lord of the hosts of heaven. All right, good. Verse 3, and though this world with devils filled, illustrations that was given is about a litmus test. And if we read that last verse again, it's really a litmus test of how committed we are to Christ. That word above all earthly powers, of thanks to them abideth, the Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. How valuable are our goods and our kindred? And this mortal life, if they're more valuable to us than Christ, then we have some praying to do. Something to think about. Why don't you have a seat? That was really heavy and deep. So why don't we just bookmark that and turn over to 56 then. 56, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials. All the way over to 462. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Two very pastoral songs about Christ as our shepherd day by day, and now Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. the testimony time. Does anybody have anything they have to share? I know this is late notice, but yeah, Gayla.
I've been blessed to be here and made it through the week after what happened last Sunday.
Does anybody know what happened last Sunday?
No. I was COVID sick for a couple days with a bad cold. Went back to work the third day, which was Sunday. Got there and was there about half an hour and I started feeling awful. I said, "I'm nervous, I got to get up." And I started sweating and she took my blood pressure and it had dropped to 70 something. And she listened to my car and she said, "Gayla, I'm sending you by ambulance to the hospital." And she made me lay down and recline. She called Dwayne and told him, and Dwayne said when he got there, he didn't know if he'd be alive. And so I'm just blessed. After that, I was fine. I was in the ambulance, and all the tests turned out fine.
Goes without saying that it wouldn't have been fun to have had a funeral this week and come back today. Well, yeah, okay. Well, it would have been fun for you. Inez.
Well, I was really blessed. I think it was on Martin Luther King Day, that Monday.
I think it's usually on a Monday.
A young, very sweet young man from our church came over and pinged all my fans for me. Marshall Donovan. I was really, really, really blessed by that. I was shocked that he would even want to do it, and he wasn't there no time at all, and got it done, and my fans looked so much better, and I've been lifting the foot on top of purple. And I was really, really, really blessed and really, really thrilled that he came and did that for me, and it's good to have Christian friends.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Is he blushing? Good. Mona.
I want to praise the Lord for my family here in the church. They have lifted us up in prayer, and I have felt it.
Yeah.
In spite of everything, I don't think it's just my job, but I have a happy-go-lucky smile all the time at work. And somebody asked me, "Why are you so happy?" Praise the Lord, I had a chance to say,
amen.
God opened that door, and they just kind of look at me like, it might be contagious, but they know where I stand.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Yeah, I had a blessing this week. I have a friend of mine who recently was a graduate from the seminary, more recently, but we worked together, and we took a break, one of our breaks at work, and instead of eating or sitting in the break room, we went and prayed, and we were able to pray for witnessing opportunities for other guys. And sometimes it's hard because, you know, you're all trying to do your job, and even though you're working around a lot of guys, you're not necessarily working with them in the warehouse. And so it's not necessarily the easiest thing to talk and even to have a conversation about such things. So, but it was a blessing to be able to pray for opportunities like that with a friend, with a good coworker and friend. Kim.
This week's been kind of a crazy week. It started out normal, but a lot of you know that on Wednesday, my cooperating teacher, her son, woke up with hives, and they turned into welts, and then his face started swelling, and by Wednesday afternoon, they were in the emergency room. He was in anaphylactic shock, and they don't know why he's this way. And he was continuing to have episodes where his windpipe was starting to swell shut. And so they were having some breathing treatments. And they know it's not anything he's eaten or drank, but it's something viral in his body. And so that meant it was all me. And I've had a crash course in teaching this week. And Wednesday, we have computers. And I hate taking them to computers. They're in the process of learning how to log in the computer, and then once they log in, they get to type, play games. But the logging in process can take almost the whole half hour. So they told me, "You're on your own." And I said, "Oh, Lord, help me." Unfortunately, I didn't say come quickly. And it was the smoothest time of year I've ever had. And I was so nervous. It was like, Lord, I can't do this on my own. You have to help me. It's not going to be me. You have to help me. You've got to help my meager abilities. And I realized later in the day, I'm not nervous, and I don't remember when I quit being nervous. And the day went so smooth. And then Thursday, it was me by myself teaching the whole day. And I was observed by a faith professor. And I thought, yeah, no pressure. So, but the day went well again. And then Friday, there was a substitute in there. And her and I, they had me take a step back and only teach the subjects I was supposed to teach. And it was a blessing. And the Lord has shown me a lot this week and how we can just rely on Him if we just trust in Him. And even if we don't feel that our abilities are always the best, He can take what we have and use it completely for His honor and glory. Mm-hmm. And so tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm prepared to teach the whole day if need be. I'm not sure what's going to happen. It's a classmate of James's that's sick. That this young man is in sixth grade with James, and I don't know what this whole week's going to contain, but Faith is working with me, and they've given me abbreviated lesson plans that I can write instead of complete lesson plans for everything, and so that's a blessing. But I do ask that you pray for my class. We are later this week having two lessons over the Passover, and I have the opportunity to lay out the plan of salvation, and I'm going to lay it out there. I have no idea who is saved and who is unsaved, but I just pray that the Lord would just plant seeds, and that even if it is His will that a child would come to know Christ as their Savior. It will be Wednesday and Thursday, and maybe even next Monday, that I teach these lessons, so that I would say the right thing and that the Lord would just work in a mighty way in that classroom.
I see Bob praying already. Why don't you just take a minute and pray right now for that situation and for Kim as she has an opportunity this week.
Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you for the privilege of gathering together. Thank you for Kim for her willingness to teach and to go beyond normal. Ask that you just bless and encourage her. We thank you for words of prayer with her and teaching, and just give her a good week and just bless in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. We'll also pray that you don't pray for the Lord of Sabaoth to come down on the students either.
Stop in that right now. Earlier in the semester, earlier in the school year, I think the teacher was praying that, but not anymore. They matured. They either they like me or they matured.
Both good things. Well, time flies when you're having fun. Why don't we sing? Because you probably want to, like, a half hour singing.
Or it can be probably a little bit shorter. So.
Well, then, if it can be a little bit shorter, why don't we go to 175? Because after that, we should be able to sing Hallelujah, What a Savior. And then after that, we'll go straight to Speak, O Lord, our former weekly song that we used to sing. We'll sing that again. So, first of all, 175, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Oh,
They should all be in the hymnals. Speak, O Lord. Here it is. Just flip those open, perhaps buy a copy before the throne. Enjoy bringing this up and singing this again. Why don't we stand together? I trust you found one. If not, find somebody who has found one.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have spoken to us. You have spoken to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the living word. You have spoken to us through the written word, the Holy Bible. And so I do thank you for the word. Pray that we'd be students of it, that we'd be living it. I do pray that we'd love it. And so I do even pray, even as we look into your word, that you would use it in a great way. Pray that we'd be more like you after this time, even this evening. And so we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about how our lives are filled with simple pleasures? Experiences that really don't seem all that special or all that extraordinary, but they really are special. And oftentimes, we take things for granted, don't we? And we really don't appreciate something until we lose it. So what are some of those simple pleasures of life? And I think each person could come up with our own list of simple pleasures, things that are especially meaningful to us. And just by way of introduction, a famous song that lists a few of my favorite things. Okay, and these are simple pleasures, basically. And here you're going to get this song going through your head, and I know Dan is going to love this. But raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Do you recognize this? Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles. Wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings, these are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs, these are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Okay, that's the song, you know. Now, if you were to write a song like that, what would you include? You may include some of these, but probably not all of them. What would you include in your list of your favorite things, or the simple pleasures that you especially appreciate? Now, if I would write a song, and I'm not going to write a song, but these are some of the things that I would include in such a song as this. The simple pleasures of life that I especially appreciate. How about the smell of fresh baked bread? Do you love that smell? Isn't that great? Or how about the spring air after a gentle rain? Don't you love it whenever the air just smells like that after a nice spring rain? Or how about flowers blooming in the summertime? You know, that's beautiful. How about the sound of a gentle flowing stream? Of birds chirping at dusk after the sun has gone down? Of frogs and crickets chirping happily? Isn't that nice? How about the sight of a glowing sunset? Just imagine that, a glowing sunset. I'm sure you've seen beautiful sunsets with the pinks and the oranges and the reds. And just it fills the sky. Isn't that gorgeous? How about new fallen snow on the trees and on the hills, or the hoarfrost? It's beautiful. We may not like to drive in it, but it's a beautiful sight. How about the stars shining on a dark summer's night? You get away from all the city lights and you just look up. And you see the glory of the stars, the glory of God's creation. It gives glory to the great God. How about the taste of sweet honey, or of fresh cherries, or of watermelon and sweet corn, of ice cream, and warm chocolate chip cookies? You know, those are some simple pleasures. How about the warm feel of a fire on an autumn's night, on that chilly night? Or how about the feeling of waking up after a hard day's work? How about that? That's a special feeling as well. Or that soft bed after you've been at work all day at Arby's. That's a good feeling, isn't it, Dan? Or wherever you work, or maybe you don't work, maybe you just spent a hard day working in the yard or whatever. I don't work at Arby's, so I couldn't. That's not my favorite thing, but for Dan, perhaps. Or Joe after throwing cardboard or hauling it around all the time. You know, we can make our own lists of favorite things. Simple pleasures of life. Those experiences, they aren't the ones that you spend a lot of money on. You know, some of them are free. You don't spend any money. They're priceless. You know, they don't cost us anything, but yet they are priceless. So how many times do we take those things for granted? And really, you know, like I said before, we really don't appreciate them fully unless we lose them. Think of what it would be like not to be able to see if you lost your eyesight and you couldn't see those beautiful sunsets anymore. Or you lost your sense of smell and you couldn't smell that freshly baked bread. You know, you'd miss those simple pleasures then, wouldn't you? You'd really miss them. This evening, we're going to focus in on one of those simple pleasures of life. The simple pleasure of the ability to sleep. Now, whenever I was younger, a lot of times I would hit the pillow and off I would go to sleep. You know, no problem at all. And perhaps some of you are still that way. You hit the pillow and you're just out. You zonk out. And of course, whenever I was younger, I was perhaps a little bit more active. You know, I was, you know, playing baseball, or I was mowing the grass or whatever. And I still do some of that to a certain extent. But it didn't take very long for me to fall asleep after I hit the sheets. But as we get a little bit older, at least this is the way it seems anyway, you get a little bit older, you get more mature, and you go to bed, you hit that pillow, and you may not fall asleep quite so quickly anymore. And I've heard from older folks, you know, more mature adults, that they don't sleep as well as they used to. Is that true? Can anyone identify with that? You go to bed and you just can't sleep. And maybe you do fall asleep halfway through the night, and then you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and that's it. You know, your night's over. You might as well get up and get on with things. You know, you can't enjoy that good night's rest like you used to. But I think, you know, sometimes I go to bed and I might be tired. You know, I'm really exhausted from all the things going on, but yet I go to bed, and all of a sudden, my mind starts going, okay? It starts running at 100 miles per hour. All of these thoughts milling through my mind. What about this and this and that, okay? And sometimes, you know, no matter how hard you try to go to sleep, you try to calm yourself down, to clear your mind. You know, you hear people say, well, why don't you count sheep, or you know, whatever, or maybe turn on some peaceful music. But sometimes none of that stuff is going to work. You know, you just can't fall asleep. No matter how hard you try, you can't fall asleep. And really, from personal experience, there's not many things worse than being at bed, you know, tossing and churning and trying to get to sleep, and you just absolutely can't. And you just spend the whole night tossing and churning. Yeah, it's not an easy thing. We can try to force ourselves to go to sleep, but can we make ourselves go to sleep? Not really, not in instances like that. You know, it's not our decision whether we fall asleep or not. Really, sleep is a gift of God, isn't it? It really is. That's what Solomon says in Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And so what is God communicating through Solomon as Solomon even penned these words? Men can put forth all of the effort they want. They can strive toward their goals. They can try to complete all of these projects. And they may even have some success in completing all these projects and fulfilling their plans. But if the Lord is not in it, what good is it? If the Lord is not in it, it's really nothing but vanity, nothing but useless strivings. And so men can build for themselves these grand houses, or maybe just a simple cottage. And if the Lord isn't with them as they do these things, their toil is in vain. The watchman may try to keep watch to the best of his ability, but unless the Lord is with him, what is the watchman going to accomplish? Okay, the watchman may try with all of his might to keep watch for his friends and his compatriots for their safety. But if the Lord doesn't guard that city, then the watchman's labors, they're useless, they're in vain. Men can get up early, they can stay up late, they can toil with the sweat of their brow, but if the Lord doesn't bless their efforts, what is it? It really doesn't mean anything, does it? It amounts to nothing. If the Lord is not in it, it's of no lasting value. If men do not trust the Lord, they are working, really, in an exercise of futility. And so ultimately, as we look at these verses, what is Solomon saying? It is the Lord who gives His blessing. Try as we want, do all the work that we can, but if the Lord is not in it, it's of no value. It can't really be fruitful. But for those who trust in the Lord, who rest in His divine providence, then they receive gifts that are innumerable. And for those who have faith in the great I Am, they are able to rest soundly in God's arms. And it is to one such as this that God gives one of these simple pleasures of life. He gives the gift of sleep. The gifts of God are precious, and the gift of sleep really is no different. Now, we're going to see in various scriptures instances of sleep. We're going to look at the good who sleep, at the evil also who sleep. We recognize both the good and the evil. They sleep, but yet their sleeps are different. For those who trust in the Lord, for those who cast all of their cares upon Him, for those who look to God as their rock and their fortress, it's to one such as these, there is that special gift of that peaceful rest. David tells us in Psalm 4, in verses 4 through 8, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your hearts on your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Who will show us any good?' Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And we wonder sometimes, well, why can't I fall asleep whenever I hit that pillow? What's wrong? And I think In a lot of instances, we realize, you know, we already know what the reason is why we can't fall asleep. Because a lot of times, there are things on our minds. You know, we're God forbid, we're worrying about things. You know, there's these stresses, these troubles that are bothering us. Oftentimes, when that sleep eludes us, we're going through a hard time. And we have things heavy upon us. So what do we do in times such as these? And I think the answer is to meditate upon God. Meditate upon His Word. Ponder upon who God is. Ponder upon the things He has told us in His Word. The promises He has given us. We must commune with Him. Have fellowship with Him. Telling God our troubles, our difficulties. Casting all of our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. David says in verse 8 here, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So the one who has peace is the one who is going to fall fast asleep. The one who will fall asleep easily. The one who trusts in the Lord is the one who is characterized by that peace that passes all understanding. The New Testament talks a lot about peace, about casting our cares upon the Lord, about trusting in God. What did the Lord tell us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25? Most likely a very familiar passage. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then we skip down to verses 33 and 34 of Matthew 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We recognize this. We shouldn't be worrying about things. We need to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. Don't worry about tomorrow. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And then another familiar one, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, these aren't new verses to you. You know these things. But it's a different thing, totally different, to know something and then to actually practice it. And it is difficult for each and every one of us, I believe, to actually practice what the Lord has told us, to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. We might be able to cast some of our cares upon the Lord, but yet to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, that's not an easy thing. To rest solely in God, and not to keep any of those worries for ourselves. That's a hard thing to do. To trust in God with all of our heart. To not be anxious about any of the things that are going on around us. To go to God in prayer and leave all of those burdens with Him. That's what we know we must do. But yet doing it, that's another thing. But doing it, that's what we must do. Lord, help us to trust in You. We want to go to the book of Proverbs now. Proverbs talks quite a bit about sleep. We will see here the sleep of the righteous. We will see the sleep of the wicked. And we will see the sleep of the lazy. We want to look at these three various types of sleep. First of all, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. The sleep of the righteous. Verse 21 of Proverbs 3. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and you will keep your foot, and He will keep your foot from being caught. That's what we've been talking about. For those who trust in the Lord, for those who love Him, for those who keep His commandments, there is a calm, there is a peace that is theirs, a peace that passes all understanding. And for those who trust in the Lord, they have this precious gift of God. There is that sweetness to their sleep that nothing else can give, that nothing can take away to the one who truly trusts in the Lord, the one who has the Lord for his confidence. That is the sleep of the righteous. But what about the wicked? The wicked sleep also, don't they? Although they have a different type of sleep, but they close their eyes and go and snooze. They sleep, but their sleep is so much different than the sleep of the righteous. We want to go to Proverbs chapter 4. For the righteous, the sweetness of sleep comes from what? From trusting in the Lord, from obeying Him. But for the wicked, it's the exact opposite. The wicked is not going to sleep unless they've had a full day of wickedness, of evil deeds. We come to Proverbs chapter 4, and verses 14 through 17. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. We don't want to be like that. You know, I would rather have all types of insomnia than have the sleep of the wicked. What do the wicked do? They can't sleep unless they've gone and created havoc, unless they've sinned in some terrible way. They have peaceful sleep, although it's not a peaceful sleep, but they have sleep. Whenever they've disobeyed the Lord, whenever they've rebelled against Him, we must avoid that sleep at all costs. And then we come to Proverbs chapter 6. In verses 9 through 11, we've looked so far at the sleep of the righteous and the sleep of the wicked. What about the sleep of the lazy? Yes, sleep is a gift of God. It is something precious. But an overabundance of sleep is a pitfall. We must not over-love or over-desire sleep. We come to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. We flip over to Proverbs 20 and verse 13. This is emphasized time and time again. So yes, sleep is a gift, it is a good thing, but we must not place too much of an emphasis upon sleep. We don't want to be like the lazy man who just stays in bed and sleeps and slumbers and does nothing else. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. Then Proverbs 24, just a few chapters over, verses 33 and 34. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. So we must shun the sin of laziness. There's nothing wrong with a good hard day's work. There's nothing wrong with getting up early, with staying up late, with burning the candle at both ends, as long as the Lord is in it. Well, we don't want to be like the man apart from the Lord who gets up and tries to make a fortune for himself and does all that for his own good and nothing in service to the Lord. There is nothing wrong with diligence so long as it is in the service of God's work. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12, and we can identify with this, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. And so really we see here another type of sleep, really for two different individuals. For the man who labors, who works hard with his hands, even though he may not have hardly anything on the table, his sleep is sweet. But what about the rich man? The rich man, he may have the softest bed possible. He may have all of the luxuries of life. You'd think, well, he should be sleeping soundly. But what is his case? He hits that bed and he's not able to fall asleep because what? He has abundance of worldly goods, but he also has an abundance of worries because he's thinking on his bed, well, what if this happens or that happens? What if a thief steals this? Or what if the market crashes? You know, that's what they didn't have the market back in Solomon's day, but yeah, that's the same type of thing. A good hard day's work, it's good for the soul. And it has a sweet reward, that gift of a good night's rest. But the rich really cannot experience that sweetness of rest. Not if they are living in disobedience to the Lord. And so we've looked upon the simple pleasure of sleep. And perhaps we really haven't covered anything here that you haven't already known, but yet it's a good reminder for us. Now, I'm not saying that if you're having trouble sleeping, that it means that you're not trusting the Lord, because that's not always the case. But we have to look at our lives and examine ourselves. Is that the case? Is that why I'm not sleeping well? And a lot of times that is the case. I'm tossing and turning because, you know, I'm keeping these things in my mind and I'm really stressed out and worried about them. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to cast our cares upon Him, recognizing He cares for us. What a precious gift, the gift of sleep. We don't want to be like the wicked. We don't want to be like the lazy. We don't want to be like the rich man who is apart from the Lord. No, we don't want to be like any of that. We want to be like the one who, yes, is laboring for the Lord, who has that gift of sweet sleep. The one who casts their cares upon the Lord. We think about a baby, and we even think about little John. Little John will fall asleep so well in the arms of Priscilla or Stephen because there's that security, there's that safety. As children of God, really, when are we going to fall asleep? When we are safe in the arms of Jesus, when we are safe in the arms of God, when we're trusting Him, whenever God is our source of confidence, when He is our refuge, when we're resting peacefully in His arms. And so let us think about sleep. What a blessing that is. One of the simple pleasures of life. And I hope as we trust in the Lord, as we live for Him, God blesses us with that sweetness of sleep. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the simple pleasures of life. Thank You for the things that You have given to us that truly are priceless. Do pray that we'd be trusting You, that we'd be looking to You in prayer constantly, that we'd be casting our cares upon You. I pray that we would heed the teaching of Scripture. Help us not to worry, not to fret. Help us just to go to You in prayer with all of these things. I do pray that You would give us the sweet gift of sleep. After laboring a hard day's work, that You'd help us to be refreshed and rejuvenated, ready in the morning for another day of service to You. So I do thank You for Your simple gifts that You give to us. I pray that we never take them for granted. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close with 342. 342, just as I am.